at this time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 9th of August. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, Tuesday, we're into August, you know. County fair's coming up this weekend.
Okay.
It's always a good time. Little slice of Americana.
True, it is.
Right there in Valentine, Nebraska.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to that. How's everything with you?
Well, it's kind of interesting here in Florida because, I'm not that far from yesterday's ground zero little incident at Mar-a-Lago.
You know, folks, I got to tell you, earlier today I told Diane, I said, I'm surprised Donald Trump didn't call up Diane and say, hey, could you go over and check on the house? I think there's something going on over there.
I'm not that close.
Oh, boy. Hey, before we get into all that, we're going to talk about that a lot. Let me tell you what else we got coming up on the show tonight, folks. Diane is talking about recession, America's new norm. Now, I was going to do a segment tonight, too, but I'm foregoing that segment. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the situation at Mar-a-Lago, the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home. We're going to talk about that throughout this first segment. Then Diane will do a segment, and then we're going to go back and talk some more about what happened down there at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. So,
should be interesting.
Now, this all came to light to the general public late yesterday afternoon, early yesterday evening. But from what I've been reading of the timeline, it was going on all day. I mean, from like 9 o'clock in the morning, Florida time, till about 6:30 in the evening, Florida time. Apparently, the reason it never leaked out that this was going on was the FBI agents, most of them were plain clothes, and the staff down there, the people that kind of keep the grounds and make everything look nice, they thought it was probably just Secret Service people. And they're used to that. You know, they're Secret Service people crawling all over that place all the time.
Well, I'm not so sure about that timeline. You and I discussed that earlier. We're not hearing a lot of that down here about it going on all day, but the timeline is not what's important. What's important is the fact that it did happen. And that's something we can't lose sight of, because what this was not only a last-ditch attempt by the Democrats, because the July 6th hearings are a joke.
Ugh.
But basically what it's done is handed 2022 and 2024 to the Republicans. And these dolts, for lack of a better word, they don't even see that.
You know, it's a bizarre situation. Diane and I were following it last night. We followed a lot of coverage and did a lot of research throughout the night. We've been following it all day. Today, checking in with different sources and things, and it's such a fluid situation. I mean, we're learning stuff all the time, but the gist of it is we've got a lot more questions than we do answers. Now, we've got a few answers. We know a few things. We know some stuff that we're going to let you in on here in just a minute. But there's more questions than answers at this point. And as the hours go by, there's even more and more questions that need to be answered.
Yes. And some of this is basically, why now? What will the ramifications be? The players involved, and whose heads are going to roll for this?
Eventually, yeah. Somebody's heads are going to roll.
Yes.
Now, let's look at this from the standpoint of what we know. Not necessarily that it's true, okay? And you'll see what I mean, folks, here in just a minute. But what we know is that this was a search warrant situation. The FBI got a search warrant. We'll let you in here in just a little bit on who signed off on that search warrant. But the FBI got a search warrant supposedly looking for documents that were wanted by the National Archives. Now, Diane, I don't know about you, but I'm not buying that story.
Oh, no. It's just one of the many, many stories that are going around. That's all.
Well, but I mean, that's what we're being told, and that's all we're being told by the Department of Justice right now, mm-hmm. is that this was in relation to documents that the National Archives want. Now, given that, we also know for a fact that in January, Trump turned over 15 boxes of whatever to the National Archives, and we also know that Trump and the Trump team have been fully cooperating with the National Archives, at least up until June, when I guess the National Archives was getting a little testy and a little bit hinky, and Trump kind of put the brakes on them a little bit and said, now, wait a minute, you're going to have to be more specific, or you're going to have to tell me what you're doing here. But up until that point, it was a very amicable relationship. Trump was helping. He was doing whatever he could. He turned over 15 boxes. In fact, Diane, we also know that the National Archives put in writing, this was earlier this year, that Trump and the Trump team were fully cooperating.
Oh, yeah. And they had been. And all the news was reporting on that. But suddenly, you know what strikes me quite funny about all this? Today, Nancy Pelosi, of all people, came out with a statement, and she said nobody is above the law. And you know what? She's wrong. She's above the law for insider trading. Hillary is above the law for burning, or I should say, bleach bidding all those emails. BLM is above the law for not being called to task for all the mayhem they caused. You know, remember with the burning of the cities and the rioting.
Right.
And the
Antifa, looting. Antifa too.
And Antifa too. Everybody is above the law. Is
Hunter
not
Biden.
Above the law, I should say, if they are a Republican. But they are above the law if they're a Democrat.
Hunter Biden seems to be above the law.
Absolutely.
Paulie Pelosi seems to be above the law.
The law is. He's so stoned half the time.
Yeah, that's a sad fact. Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, seems to be above the law.
When he isn't drinking, yeah.
Well, but I mean, when he is drinking, because, yeah, he got busted for drunk driving, and that case is being handled way differently than it would be if anybody else got busted out there in Napa Valley for drunk driving.
Right, true. I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous because they broke into President Trump's safe and there was nothing in it. But don't put it past the FBI to plant some information.
What? The FBI plant information? The FBI manufacture information? Oh, Diane, you're getting too cynical.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, they would do it. Because I hate to say this, but the FBI, as it stands right now, is as corrupt as the Democrat hierarchy.
You know, folks, don't forget.
I also hate to say that when we do retake the House and the Senate, when President Trump is reelected, I think the FBI needs a total house cleaning. Originally, I didn't think the rank and file, but now I do, because you don't know who can be trusted and who can't be trusted.
I mean, I guarantee you there's some good FBI agents, but who are they? And right. You know, how many of the ones you think are good aren't? I mean, that's exactly. That's the problem. Now, look, folks, you don't want to forget the fact that the FBI has been in the manufacturing of evidence department for quite some time. The FBI actually helped to pay for the Steele dossier, and then they used the Steele dossier, which they knew was fabricated, to get not one, not two, not three, but four FISA warrants to spy on Donald Trump.
Exactly. These people, you know, here it is. The Democrats claim that Biden won by a large majority. I think it was like 6 million votes. He's getting all his crap passed, you know, that are helping to destroy our economy.
Right.
He's doing everything he can to make us a laughing stock on the world stage. Everything the Democrats want. And yet, what do? They spend over $100 million of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars on a witch hunt on a man who's no longer president.
It's unbelievable.
I want my share of that money back.
I'd like a little bit of that. You know,
this is ridiculous. If they would focus more on doing the jobs they were elected to do instead of wasting money on a witch hunt.
Well, you know,
maybe then a few things could get done.
Well, let's take a look real quick here at just a couple of groups of people that the current Department of Justice and the Attorney General and the FBI are going after, shall we?
Okay.
If you're Hunter Biden and you've got videos on your cell phone and on your laptop of you doing bad things with bad people, doing crack cocaine, getting high, consorting with prostitutes, so on and so forth, nothing's happening to you.
Right.
Okay, but if you've got a child in a grade school or a middle school, maybe even a high school, and you show up at a school board meeting in your town, you are a domestic terrorist and you're going to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now,
that's America's new norm.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're Hillary Clinton and you bleach bit 32,000 emails and you order hard drives to be hammered into bits and pieces, nothing's going to happen to you. Okay,
because
you're a Democrat. But if you are a conservative talk show co-host with a blog of your own, you're going to be put into Facebook jail if you dare say anything about Jeffrey Epstein, Hunter Biden, yada, yada, so on and so forth. You're going to be put in Facebook jail some 48 times over the past few years, going back to things that you said 8 years ago.
Yes.
You know?
Let's
take a look at some of the people you know, that are in trouble and some of the people that are not under this current regime. If you dare say that only men can get pregnant, you'll probably lose your job. Okay, but if you're the former president and possibly, quite possibly, the future president of these United States, and you're up at your summer place in New Jersey. Your Mar-a-Lago estate is rife for the taking by the FBI. You're going to be raided.
Absolutely, you're going to be raided. And speaking of raided, in case people don't know, we know who the judge was that signed the order to allow this. And that federal judge, his name is Bruce Reinhart, and he signed off on the sealed search warrant allowing for the FBI to raid Trump's property. But what's very interesting about him is he used to be a federal prosecutor, but he quit his job as a U.S. attorney in 2008, and he went to work for Jeffrey Epstein.
Now, to be clear, he quit his job on January 1st, 2008, and went to work for Jeffrey Epstein on January 2nd, 2008. Yes.
Very, very interesting. And all of a sudden, he quit his job to work for him, and suddenly, he set up in a criminal defense private practice. In other words, he went from a prosecutor to a defense attorney, you know, people who defend the scuffs of the earth. But he also helped defend people in Epstein's orbit.
His very close orbit, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Pilots, his scheduler, specific people. One woman's name was Nadia Marcinikova, who Epstein described as his Yugoslavian sex slave.
You know, that's kind of a long thing to put on a business card, but okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, this former federal prosecutor, needs some investigation, serious investigation.
Well, the fact that he went to work for Jeffrey Epstein and the pilots, of course, were pilots for the Lolita Express.
Right.
Welcome to the Lolita Express. Keep your trays and seats in the full upright position.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know.
But there's something else that's very interesting, Craig. Back in 2008, he was a big contributor to Barack Obama.
I don't see any issue there, do you?
Really, because remember, if you support Democrats, you're above the law.
You know, I mean, the fact that he went to work for Jeffrey Epstein tells me he's at best a weasel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not very many people that are lower down the moral totem pole than Jeffrey Epstein was. And,
true.
You know, and he knew, you know, when he went to work for Epstein in 08, he knew damn well who Epstein was. And apparently, Epstein must have known him. Otherwise, why would he go courting a federal prosecutor and get that federal prosecutor to quit his job on one day and go to work for him the next?
And suddenly his practice, his criminal defense practice, is up and running, including it's in the same building, the same suite as Epstein's main lawyer.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, figure it out, folks. I mean, look, we don't know what the exact connection was there. We're not pretending we do, but we know there is a connection there.
Right.
Okay, so draw your own conclusions. You know, figure that out for yourselves. This guy is not the most up-and-up guy. Then, you know, when Epstein accidentally hung himself in his jail cell, right? This guy goes back to being a magistrate judge in South Florida. Well, the FBI office out of Washington, D.C., goes down to South Florida and gets him to sign the search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. If you were a judge, any judge, I don't care what judge you are, except for a guy like this. If you were a judge and the FBI came to you and said, we need you to sign off on a search warrant. Okay, who's it against? Donald J. Trump. Given what everybody on the planet knows about the FISA warrants that were made up out of whole cloth, fraudulent FISA warrants, that were presented by the FBI to a judge back in 2015, 2016, four times to get warrants against Donald Trump. As a judge, Diane, would you demand to see every shred of evidence pertaining to those search warrants? Or would you just like rubber stamp them and say, have a nice day?
Well, we know they rubber stamped them.
Well, we know they do, but what would you do? I mean, if you were a judge, knowing what you knew about the FBI and how they handled the Steele dossier and the FISA warrants, would you be quick to sign off on a search warrant the FBI wanted for Donald Trump?
First of all, I would have had the common sense to know there's nothing there. Do people really think, do these people really think that Trump would even remotely think of putting classified documents in his private home? Would you even think he would take that stuff? Look, you know, when the Obamas left the White House, they took a lot of stuff with them.
And that including means, the China.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They took a lot of things that technically belonged to we the people with them. Trump is not that kind of person. And right then and there, they should know, why would he, as president, need to take these documents? He wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
You've got to use common sense.
Well, you would hope. I mean, but let's say he did take documents with him. Okay? How did he take the documents with him? Now, Trump isn't Sandy Berger. And folks, you may not remember Sandy Berger. But Sandy Berger was with the Clinton administration back when Billy Boy was in the office. Mm-hmm. And Sandy Berger took documents, classified documents, directly out of the National Archives by sticking them in his socks and down his pants.
Right.
Okay. Right. Now that was called sloppy on his part. And nothing happened to Sandy Berger. Okay.
No. Nothing ever happens to the Democrats. It's only the Republicans that seem to be targets here. But there was something interesting with this, Craig. The reaction of the mainstream media.
Oh, man, they're giddy.
Yeah, well, all afternoon they've been saying Trump's going to be in an orange jumpsuit soon. Well, what I would like to know, will Trump be fitted for his orange jumpsuit? You know, put your air quotes there. Before or after Billy Boy, Hillary, Obama, the Moo, and every other assorted Democrat down the line?
That's a very good question. A very good question. I've got a question.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you think, it's more of a statement, kind of a question. Raise your hand if you think when Donald Trump was getting ready to leave the White House after the election, he packed his own boxes and took them out to two men in a truck. How many people out there think Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, packs his own moving boxes?
These people just, hatred. It's not only hatred, Craig, it's also fear. Because they know that when he gets reelected in 2024, all the stuff that they've put into law will be EO'd out. And the economy will rebound rebound again. We will be respected on the world stage again. Our allies will be protected again. And the Democrats will be out of power for generations. And that's what scares them.
They're terrified.
Yes.
They're terrified.
Yeah.
You know, but folks, you can see what we mean. You know, what we said here at the very top of this segment. There's a lot more questions than answers. And the more we learn, the more questions we have. In this segment, we're just posing a lot of those questions. You know, these are questions that need to be answered. And primarily, one of the biggest questions that needs to be answered is why the need for an FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago when they never subpoenaed first? Why?
Well, also why? Well, we know basically why the raid, fear and whatever. But shouldn't, you know, Trump have had a lawyer present?
Should have. Wasn't allowed to.
Wasn't allowed to. The raid itself is breaking federal laws. This is not a raid for drugs or weapons. This is a raid, well, maybe there's something there. Now, who's going to be responsible for the damage they caused to his home?
I'll bet they didn't even use coasters.
Bet not.
You know, I mean, well, they don't care. They don't care.
They don't care about anything but their hatred for this man. And you know what? That in itself, this kind of hatred and this kind of targeted, it's a targeted assassination, not with a weapon per se, but with actions and words.
Character assassination.
They're trying to assassinate his character.
Right.
I mean, there's something mentally deranged about that.
There's a lot mentally deranged about that.
Yeah. And these are the people that are sitting in Congress, mentally deranged individuals whose sole purpose is hatred.
That's about it.
There's something terribly wrong with this country now. Are we becoming, forget a third world nation, a banana republic?
It sure seems that way.
What are we becoming by having these kind of people in our government?
Yeah, call it what you will. Banana republic, the Stasi, the Gestapo, the KGB. You know, call it whatever you want. But it certainly appears that way. And the longer we go, we've gone all day without any sort of official explanation from the DOJ, from the Attorney General, from the FBI, from Christopher Wray. Nothing. You know, as every hour passes, more and more Americans are getting pissed off because they know if they can do this to a former president of the United States, what could they do to them?
Well, you got to throw in the 87,000 new IRS agents that are going to be coming after all of us, because if you think they're not, you're mistaken.
Think of your average college football stadium. An average college football stadium at a major school. Let's leave out like Penn State and the Rose Bowl, you know. Mm-hmm. But your average college football stadium holds about 85,000 to 90,000 people.
Right.
So think of a football stadium clear full of brand new IRS agents.
Yep. And they're not just going to go after the big players. No. Because the big players know the loopholes and everything else. They're going to be coming after we the people.
That's right.
You don't dot an I on your tax return, they're going to be knocking on your door with their hand out. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what our country has become under let's, you know, we say Joe Biden, but it's really under Obama.
You know,
this is the fundamental change that he has worked for. His conduit now is Biden.
Yep. You and I said on this show, we're going to leave this segment right here. Okay. But you and I said on this show years ago, when the whole Lois Lerner targeting IRS agents targeting conservatives came up, you and I said on this very program, Right Side Patriots, that was a dry run for what was to come.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Yep, you nailed it.
Folks, stay with us. We've got plenty more to come. In fact, when we come back from this short break and a couple of station IDs, Diane's talking about recession, America's new norm. Stay with us. Plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to rspradio1.com and Right Side Patriots. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Getting you through Tuesday night edition of the show. If you missed any part of the show up to now, well, you can always go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there the show will be. And trust me, you do not want to miss any of this show. In fact, in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, we're going to be coming back around to the conversation about Mar-a-Lago, the FBI raid, Donald Trump, and how it pertains to things coming up in the near and maybe a little bit deeper down in the future. So keep that in mind. But Diane, one of the things that you and I discussed as we were chatting earlier today, we, you know, a lot of people are laser focused on what happened at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. There are other things that involve every single American citizen, and one of them is the recession. So you have put together an op-ed under the title Recession, America's New Norm. So tell us what this is all about.
Okay, let's start with this quote. We're not going to be in a recession. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to a steady growth. I don't think we're going to see a recession, end quote. Those were Joe Biden's words spoken on Monday, July 26, 2022. Now, even some Democrats see that the good times, economically speaking, that is, are but a thing of the past, of the Trump administration's past, that is. Economic recovery, which Biden and his propagandists in the liberal media keep bantering about, has proven to not only be a misnomer, but an out-and-out lie. for the economic prosperity seen under President Trump has now morphed under Joe Biden into a full-blown economic disaster. Recession, it's called, no matter that the Democrat powers that be keep trying to alter its definition. And it's here for the long stay, not because it has to be, but because the Democrats need more folks looking to the federal government for help, which translates into more folks pulling the D lever come November's midterm election. After all, few tend to bite the hand that feeds, clothes, and houses them. But hopefully, this drastic downturn in our economy will prove the Democrats wrong. For it's not just the lower and middle class being affected by the now recession, but also the upper class and the job creators. An equal opportunity government-caused disaster looming large over us all. And while folks have been forced to spend more on staples like groceries and gas at the pumps due to record high prices on foodstuffs and Biden's forced importing of oil, economic indicators show that overall consumer spending is now basically flat. And while the current 40-year high in inflation itself tends to mask the scale of what in reality is a dangerous across the board major economic slowdown, the Democrats still refuse to utter, let alone accept the R word as today's reality. For they have calculatedly changed the very definition of recession to meet their parties, to meet Obama's anti-capitalism, pro-socialism agenda. But what actually constitutes a recession, and how does recession affect consumer spending? First, a recession is simply a significant decline in economic activity that can last for as little as a few months or can last for years. In fact, history shows that recessions tend to come in tandem when an energy crisis is at hand, as it is now. And with energy comprising 7% of our total GDP, gross domestic product, one can understand why economic experts agree that a recession happens when a nation's economy experiences negative GDP growth for two consecutive fiscal quarters. Unemployment levels rise, retail sales fall, and crack, along with manufacturing slowing and incomes declining for an extended period of time.
Okay, so you've done a pretty good job here of explaining what a recession is and historically what we see in tandem with a recession, but there are other words that get floated about. You hear them in the media all the time when this kind of thing is going on. Inflation, deflation. Hey, everybody knows you put air in a tire, you take air out of a tire, you blow up a balloon, you let the air out of a balloon. But how does that apply to economics?
Well, let's not forget that inflation and deflation plays into recession. What with inflation being the overall upwards trend in prices over a given period of time, and with deflation being when prices steadily decline, causing wages to contract. And this in turn depresses prices as both businesses and consumers simply stop spending, which itself then undermines a nation's economy. Basically, inflation at times can and does lead to deflation and vice versa. What with central banks then being forced to try to control inflation by raising interest rates, which in turn depresses economic activity even further. A vicious ongoing cycle of what is an unavoidable so-called expansion and contraction of a given nation's economy, made worse when both inflation and recession go on at the same time. And for us here in the U.S., heaven forbid if the recession we're now in, thanks to Biden and crew, were to morph into an actual depression, a depression where the economic impact on our country will be even greater, what with accompanying steep drops in our GDP and higher unemployment rates, thus allowing time itself to become the enemy in regards to an actual economic recovery. And dare not forget that if America was to enter a depression, it most surely would spread worldwide. And sadly, here I must say, welcome to today's America, where we, the people's pocketbooks, do run dry, while high-paid politicians laugh all the way to the bank, and where talk of depression must now not be taken off the proverbial table, surely not as long as illegals keep bleeding America's monetary coffers dry. So why do I even bring the issue of illegals into the recession mix? While many claim that immigrants, legal immigrants, lead to an increase in innovation, education, and economic productivity, which is certainly true, illegals as a whole not only take away much-needed low-level and entry-level jobs from hurting American citizens, but they come here with their hands out for the Democrats' promise-free stuff, thus placing an added strain on our already hurting economy. And while reality shows that nothing is really ever free, the ever-escalating amounts of monies now being spent on welfare and such for illegals is paramount, in my opinion, to the government stealing our taxpayer dollars in exchange for votes. And Craig, it's at a time when many Americans truly are now living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, we know about two-thirds of Americans are doing that, paycheck to paycheck living. We've seen polls to that effect. But when it comes to illegal aliens, we all know that Biden threw open the gates of hell and sent out engraved invitations inviting every illegal alien from anywhere in the world to come across our southern border. So how are the numbers of people coming across illegally? You talk about, you know, legal immigration. Legal immigrants have always been good for this country. Illegal immigrants have always been bad for this country. Well, we're seeing more numbers of illegals now than we have ever seen in a condensed amount of time. How's that affecting the economy now?
Well, the actual illegal numbers do now speak for themselves. For the Biden administration to date has allowed over 2 million illegals to enter our country. And if that's not bad enough, by the end of his term, we will see 6 million illegals residing in our country, which will allow today's recession to drag on even longer than it might normally have done. Simply, with the majority of Americans now monetarily hurting, it should be Americans first and all others be damned. And here's a possible scenario, a nightmare scenario, that could indeed happen if this recession were to linger on for an extended period of time. First, more jobs most surely would be lost, leading unemployment numbers to rise, which in turn makes it harder for one to find a job, not only because more folks are out looking for work, but because companies and businesses, both large and small, will be forced to drastically cut back or even shut down. For without folks being able to purchase what businesses or a given company produces, they cannot afford to keep their operations afloat. And if one is lucky enough to keep their job during what could be a prolonged recession, they face the likely scenario of seeing both their paychecks and their benefits being cut. And don't think that those folks able to invest in the stock market won't be hurt as well. For during a recession, stocks, bonds, and real estate also visit the losing end as savings dwindle, affecting many investors' retirement plans as well as their monetary portfolios. Even worse, imagine what would happen if you couldn't pay your monthly bills or make your mortgage or rent payment because you've lost your job. Imagine both the reality and the ramifications of possibly not only actually losing your home, but all your tangible assets as well. And know that lenders, meaning banks, will also be affected, thus forcing them to tighten their qualifications for mortgages, as in one would need either a better credit score, a larger down payment, or both in some cases, in order to receive a mortgage or even a car loan. Simply, all modes of general financing would be affected, including monies needed for both new startup businesses and businesses hurting as a direct cause of the recession. And we can thank the tax and spend Democrats, and especially Joe Biden, for the above stated possible scenario, a scenario, Craig, that is on the brink of being the new norm for way too many Americans.
You know, I'm not thinking I'm going to like this new norm very much. I listen to this and I'm thinking, this really isn't for me. But I'm sure that those who brought us the recession and are sucking around to create a depression have a brilliant answer to all this.
Yes. What is the Democrats' answer to now record high inflation caused solely by their out of control spending, coupled with our economy officially having entered an actual depression? Their answer is, as expected, to once again raise taxes, no matter that over 90 plus million American households say they are having a hard time meeting daily expenses, no matter that the bulk of the tax monies raised will be funneled into their Green New Deal nonsense, which is but another name for the Democrats' war on what was, under President Trump, America's much heralded energy independence. No matter at all, for remember, above all else, that the Democrats, that Joe Biden himself, loves to blame Putin for all our economic woes, when the truth is that they alone are masters of manipulation, who want to control each and every aspect of we the people's lives, ranging from the jobs we hold, the cars we drive, to the food we eat and the groceries we buy, to how we power, heat, and cool our homes, to the medical treatment we receive or are not allowed under Obamacare to receive, to what our children are taught in both public and private schools and universities, to the right to kill unborn babies, and so very much more, pronouns not excluded. Simply, do as the current powers that be tell us to do. Believe their words as both scientific and gospel truth. Think what they tell us to think, or else pay the consequences in jobs lost, money's gone, and freedoms cast to the wind. And might I sadly add, the Constitution be damned. So what is the solution to the Democrats' deliberately created economic woes? First, it's very important to remember that Republicans always support the pursuit of prosperity minus government interference, and that Republicans support both tax and regulation cuts for businesses, thus naturally allowing for more jobs to be created, which in turn will increase overall economic growth. While Democrats erroneously believe that by reducing self-perceived income inequality, economic growth will follow, as will spending versus savings, as they buy into the Keynesian economic theory that government should always spend its way out of a recession, differences on par with night and day. But to put it in quite simplistic terms, in order to end this recession and return to the prosperity we saw under President Trump, all Democrats need to be voted out of office, not just this upcoming November 8th, but in 2024 as well. For not to do so might just be our republic's ultimate downfall, where Obama's fundamental change sadly becomes America's new norm. Case closed.
You know, like I said, I don't think I like this new norm.
I don't like it at all.
After giving it careful consideration, I just don't care for it.
To put it bluntly.
You couldn't do this. What they've done, you couldn't do this by mistake. This has to be deliberate.
Yes. It's calculated. It's a continuation of what Obama didn't finish, the fundamental change of America. Remember, he is pulling Biden's strings.
Right.
Biden does what he tells him and his handlers tell him to do. This, everything that's going on now, was done under Obama. Our economy was in no great shapes under him either. And people forget that. Obamacare itself started the downfall because it led us into socialized medicine. That's what Obamacare is.
Well, that's what Hillary Care was meant to be, and they never got it, you know, when Billy Boy was in office. But Obama did it with Obamacare.
Exactly. I mean, the death panels, the, okay, you can't have this procedure. Nah, it's too experimental. Or, you know, a million excuses why they wouldn't have to pay out. And it's worse now. Everything is much worse because the monies that would have gone to Americans who are paying into these plans is now being funneled into illegals in exchange for their votes.
It's amazing.
It's a sad state we're in.
Well, it really is. And, you know, you're absolutely right. The only way out of this is to re-implement Trump's policies.
Right. And the only way to do that is to turn the House and the Senate majority, you know, in the majority, red. And we're not talking one or two votes. We're talking we need the Senate, if we could, 5 to 10 votes, the House over 25 votes.
Bulletproof. We need a bulletproof.
Yeah. You know, and unless we do that, you know, you still got the Dominion voting machines, you still have many, many Democrat heads of the voting in each state. You don't know what's going to happen in 2022 and 2024. We can still have major fraud going on.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. But you begin this article, by the way, folks, you can get the article by going to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or going to rspradio1.com. Either way, get the link. There's lots of great information in this, and share it around so people understand the ins and outs of the situation we're in right now. Recession, America's New Norm, is the title of the op-ed. But you begin this op-ed with that quote from Biden, and I'm sorry, Diane, that makes me laugh every time I hear it. Quote, "We're not going to be in a recession. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to steady growth. I don't think we're going to see a recession," unquote. Joe Biden said that on the 26th of July, and a couple of days later, we're in a damn recession.
Exactly. But he's still denying that because they're changing definitions.
Moving
the
goalposts.
When Democrats don't get what they want, they try to make up a definition that fits what they want.
Right. Right. They just move the goalpost.
Yeah. And that's what's happening here. We are in a depression, folks. And if we don't watch out, and especially with Biden's new, you know, major spending bill that passed thanks to sellouts Manchin and Sinema, who, by the way, can stick it where the sun don't shine, it's going to get worse. And we could be tethering on the edge of a depression.
It's very possible. And there's, of course, there's other factors in play, you know, that could push us over that abyss. But, you know, the situation's not rosy right now. Luckily, we've got a major midterm, the biggest midterm election ever, coming up here in 3 months. 3 months minus a day, right? It's November 8th. And then we're 2 years away from the general election. I guarantee you President Trump is going to run again.
I think now he, even if he was considering turning it over to someone else, I think now he has to run.
Oh, I guarantee you he is chewing nails right now.
Yes, and he has every right to.
I mean, and you know, he's in the real estate business, and he has people that build a lot of properties. So, you know, when it comes to chewing nails, he knows where to get them wholesale.
True.
You know. But yeah, this is an untenable situation that we're in right now. It can only get worse. This giant tax and spend bill, you know, and people right now, and rightfully so, are focused so much on the IRS thing. 87,000 new IRS agents are going to audit everybody, and they probably will. All mm-hmm. right, but there is so much bull crap in that bill, bull crap spending in that bill that people don't even know about. You know, and I haven't even had a chance to read through the whole thing because of all this other crap that's going on. But from what I've read through it so far, I can't find one decent thing in the bill. Not one.
No, and there's not one program in there that will help lower inflation. In fact, leading economists, I should say, are saying that inflation is going to rise in 2023.
How can it not? How can it possibly not? They're spending money that they're going to print out of thin air.
With no treasure to back it up.
Right, and that's what causes inflation. That's how we exactly. got here. You know? Good Lord.
And we're going to continue buying oil from overseas or drain our national reserves when we're sitting on more oil than Saudi Arabia.
I hate to say it, but a big step forward in ending this madness is going back to producing our own energy.
Of course. We never should have stopped. And I guarantee you, Trump in 24, that will be the first EO he signs.
Oh, yeah, you think about warp speed, things that he's done at warp speed in the past, that's mm-hmm. going to pale in comparison to what he does next.
And as a result, not only will the oil workers, the refinery workers being put back to work, the pipelines will be open, and all the adjunct industries that go along with oil production will be on the upstart, and within a matter of months, the economy will start coming back.
You know, Trump said today at an appearance, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And maybe in a strange way, he's right. Maybe our country had to go through this to see what we've become. And maybe it takes a shock like this to wake people up.
You know, I hope people wake up and stay awake. That's the thing. Folks, you can get Diane's op-ed at two places, rspradio1.com or you can get Recession, America's New Norm at Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Either way, share the link everywhere you can. Get as many people to read it as possible. Good information in there. All right. As we said earlier, I'm foregoing my personal segment tonight because the situation down at Mar-a-Lago is too big. It's too important right now. We had to talk about the recession. We don't want people to lose track of what this upcoming election in 3 months is really about. And that's why, you know, we really wanted to get Diane's segment in tonight. My segment that I had ready for tonight is a little bit more generic, and we can talk about that, you know, in the next week or two or whatever. So that's no big deal. But we got to take a break right here, get a couple of station IDs in, and when we come back, we're going to finish talking about the situation at Mar-a-Lago, the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home, and what we see as the possible fallout points as we sit here tonight with this situation evolving even as we speak.
Yes.
Folks, stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from The National Patriot, Diane Sorey over there at The Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night edition of the show. Little dust up down in South Florida, Mar-a-Lago, President Trump's personal estate. Took place yesterday. The FBI came in there and raided the place, broke into a safe to get whatever was in there out of there. And Diane, what was in there?
The same thing Geraldo found when he went after, who was that criminal?
Al Capone's.
Al Capone's trunk. In other words, nothing.
This is a big zilch. You know, Eric Trump was on Fox last night, and he said, they broke into my dad's safe, and there wasn't even anything in it. And I thought, well, what did he mean? There wasn't anything in it, you know? Well, it turns out there wasn't anything in it at all. It was an empty safe.
Right. There was absolutely nothing. And you know what is it's a little side note, but it's kind of ironic. This raid happened on the day Richard Nixon turned in his resignation.
Yeah, back in 1974. That is not by mistake either. That's not a coincidence.
No, because remember Watergate, the break-in at Watergate? Yeah, it's all, you know, it's got little hidden meanings behind the face.
You know, this whole situation is insane. You know, we talked about it in the first segment tonight. We're going to wrap up the show talking about it again here. But this is all supposedly, I use the word supposedly, over documents that the National Archives wants, that maybe Donald Trump took out of the White House. Maybe he didn't take them out of the White House. Maybe they are classified. Maybe they're not classified. Nobody knows really what exactly they're looking for. We do know that Trump and the Trump team had been cooperating with the National Archives, and then all of a sudden the librarian gets mad and initiates an FBI raid. It's insane.
Yes. It's very insane. And, you know, the media's response to it was insane in and of itself. But I'd like to tell people what our great governor, Ron DeSantis's reaction to this was.
Did Ron DeSantis even notice that this was going on? I mean, you know, he never really has his pulse on the nation's heartbeat.
Well, Governor DeSantis was one of the first to come to Trump's defense as soon as he heard about this. And he said, quote, "The raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Now the regime is getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against its adversaries, Banana Republic," end quote. What is really telling here in this is not only DeSantis standing up for President Trump and his anger, but he didn't call it an administration. He called it a regime, because that's what this administration has turned into. Yeah. A regime, a dictatorial, communist-leaning, sort of like, remember Hitler's SS?
Sure.
Well, the Biden
not personally, but, yeah,
has their own version. It's called the FBI.
Now, who else do you know that constantly refers to the Biden administration as the Biden regime? Who else do you know? Who else do you chat with?
Could that be you?
Could be.
Yes.
Could be. And remember, I called Obama's administration the Obama regime for years because I could see this coming.
Right. Right. And we all knew it was coming, but, you know, certain circumstances, the reason I never called it a regime, I still gave the office of the presidency, not who was president, meaning Obama and Biden, not giving them respect, but I gave the office of the presidency respect by calling it an administration. But regime, you know, in hindsight, was probably the right word all along.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I would, you know, you talk about what Ron DeSantis said, and you read the quote directly. I would like to have seen the unfiltered first draft of that.
Probably all the obscenities taken out.
That's what I'm saying. The guy's a Navy guy. He's a Navy JAG, Navy SEAL guy.
I know.
I mean, if that thing wasn't cleaned up, it would have been filled with more F-bombs than a rap song.
He would kind of sound like we do at times in our conversations with each other.
You know? I mean, I would have liked to have seen the unfiltered original draft of that, because I don't think Governor DeSantis was very happy.
I don't think he was either. And he, like I said, he was one of the first to come out against what happened. And if I was President Trump, when he makes the official announcement, when he's ready to pick a vice presidential candidate, I would advise him to really consider Ron DeSantis, because not only would you get one hell of a powerful, you know, administration, but when President Trump could no longer run again because he would have served two terms, then Ron DeSantis can run two terms. And after that, if he has a good VP, they can run two terms. And we can get rid of the Democrats for generations to come.
You know the best part about having Ron DeSantis as the vice president?
What?
If Trump would put Ron DeSantis in charge of the southern border, the southern border would actually close.
It would close immediately. It would close immediately. No question about it.
Yeah, it'd be a whole lot different than the nincompoop that's in charge of it now.
Yeah, well, you know what? I want to put a little something in here right now. It's not pertaining to President Trump or what happened at Mar-a-Lago, but it is pertaining to the Democrats' hypocrisy. Over the past few days, the Florida Keys has been inundated with Haitian refugees coming in boats and rafts. They're on Marathon Key. They're on Plantation Key in washing ashore in very exclusive areas. What did the Biden regime say about all this? They're turning them back and sending them to Haiti. The Haitians are blacks, folks. The ones coming across the southern border, for the most part, are white. Hispanic is not a race, folks. They are Caucasian people.
It's a heritage.
Right. It's a heritage. They are allowed to stay. But the Haitians, who have it a hell of a lot worse in Haiti than these people do in Central America, they're being turned away.
Something wrong there.
The hypocrisy runs deep in the Democrat Party.
Something wrong there.
Nothing wrong there, right?
Yeah. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Move along. Everybody mind your own business.
It's just more Democrat hypocrisy that's going on, and people still don't see the scope of it. It's not strictly what they do, it's the scope by which they're doing it.
Right. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Let me bring up a couple of things here. Now, you know, we've said all night tonight, we've got more questions than answers. We can speculate about certain things. We don't want to go out in the weeds. We don't want to go full Alex Jones.
We don't want to go Alex Jones at all.
No. Neither one of us has $45.2 million.
No.
Between Diane and myself, we're roughly $45.2 million short of having $45.2 million. but, you know, here's a couple of questions, a couple of statements, and I think little bit of educated speculation. The liberals right now are terrified. We've talked about this earlier in the show. They're terrified of Donald Trump. They're terrified that he's going to get back into office, that he's going to announce a run, he's going to win, and he's going to undo all their hard work that they've done trying to destroy what was once a great nation.
Right.
Obviously, they want to prevent him from being able to run. Now, that is a big part of why they did what they did yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, but there's more to it, we think, than just that. One of the things that I think is they're trying to intimidate Republican candidates for the House and the Senate, and even Republican candidates in state races, right? If they've been endorsed by President Trump, the liberals are trying to get those Republican candidates to distance themselves from President Trump. Oh, no, he's toxic. The FBI raided his house. Oh, no, he might get indicted. Well, I think it's going to backfire.
Oh, I think it's going to backfire big time, because even Democrats, not your progressive Democrats, you're kind of mainstream Democrats. They're as taken back by this as we are. It might be for different reasons, but they're still taken back by it. The independents, I think this little action by the Democrats have brought the independents back to Trump's side. I also think it's taken the wind out of the never-Trumpers, which is key, because remember, the never-Trumpers are technically, you know, on the right. It's taken the wind out of their sails. So there's certain things that this raid has actually helped Trump with. I personally think it's handed him the election.
I think you could very well be right. You know, and you look at the ilk of the people that are lined up against him, especially on the right side of the aisle. I'm talking about people like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney, just to name a couple. You know, Susan Collins. You know who they are, folks. I mean, you can go look it up if you don't. But, you know, those people are running scared because they know their time is almost over. Liz Cheney is going to get her hat handed to her next week in her primary. She's going to get primaried out. And I'll go right on the record right here and make a prediction. She's going to get beat by 20 points.
Easily.
Okay.
But there's also, there was an article put out that she's now going to be aligning with Nancy Pelosi on certain issues, which means to me pretty soon she's going to be putting the D next to her name.
Well, that's fine. She can do whatever she wants. Come January, she's out of a job.
Right.
Okay,
but
so
she could very well try then in 2 years to run as a Democrat.
Is she going to have to move the hell out of Wyoming?
I would think so.
I'm telling you, Wyoming is not going to vote for her again. Fool Wyoming once, shame on you. Fool them twice, shame on them. You know, and they know her. They now know exactly what she is. No, there are not enough Democrats in Wyoming to elect her, period. So, you know, that's out. Now, let me ask you this. We've got an election coming up, midterm election coming up in less than 90 days, 89 days to be exact.
Right.
Okay. How do you think this is going to play out, not only going into that election, but going into 2024? I'm interested. I haven't asked you this directly in our conversations today, so I'm asking you now. I'm interested in your opinion. And when you're done, I'll give you my opinion on what I think is going to happen.
Oh, that's your question? It's, you know, veiled in that little dissertation there.
Well, my question is, how do you think this is going to play out, given we have an election in 89 days and another one in 2 years? How do you see what happened at Mar-a-Lago yesterday playing out with Donald Trump through those two elections?
I think all his endorsed candidates are going to win their races against the Democrats. I think people that were fence sitters before will come over to the Republican side. I think that's going to funnel through to 2024. And I think it's going to be a Republican wave unseen in quite a long time. If, and I cannot stress this enough, no Dominion voting machines being used, and the mail-in ballots have to be stopped, except for housebound people, people that are sick, the military out of the country. We cannot allow this election to be determined by mail-in ballots because most of them are fraudulent.
Do you think Donald Trump will be indicted?
No.
Okay.
No, because if they indict him, he can't run. And I think the Republicans in the Congress are mad enough now over what happened that they will never allow that indictment. They will bring out dirt on major people to stop that indictment.
You know, it's an interesting prospect because Congress is not in charge of indicting anybody. It would be a grand jury.
Right. It would be a grand jury, of course.
Okay.
But I mean, it eventually then goes up and they do the formal paperwork and the trials and all that. I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. So here's kind of the way I see it. Okay, and a lot of what you said I agree with, and some of it I see differently. I think he probably will be indicted because I think the liberals and the establishment Republicans, the Liz Cheneys and the, you know, the ilk of them, I think they want nothing more than to remove Donald Trump from the political stage once and for all. They're terrified.
On what grounds do you think he'll be indicted?
I don't think it matters, because legally you can indict a ham sandwich.
True.
Okay, so they're gonna come up with some crap. We talked about this earlier in the show. The FBI is going to manufacture some crap. They're going to say, oh, look what we found in a box in Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
That was never actually in a box in Mar-a-Lago.
Correct. I agree.
Okay. I think they're going to indict him I think they're going to try and do that quickly. I think they want to do that before this midterm election as a desperation Hail Mary to try and affect the midterm election in their favor. Not that it's going to work. Okay, but they're desperate. They're going to try anything at this point. Then, once they get the indictment, I think they're going to slow walk this thing. I think they're going to drag this son of a gun out. And I think they're going to drag it out as long as they can leading up to the 2024 election. Now, the simple fact that he's indicted does not prevent him from running. It does not prevent him from winning. If you look at the Constitution clearly states what is necessary to become the president of the United States. The only right. way to prevent him from becoming... I understand there are laws and there are statutes that have been passed as a way to keep somebody from running or holding office. However, the problem with those is the Constitution itself. The Constitution clearly says you have to be 35 years old and a natural-born U.S. citizen to run for president. It also right. says, and those are the only qualifications, by the way, to be the president. And it also clearly states how to remove a president or keep a president from holding office. Again, the president would have to be impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate. There is no other way to do it. Therefore, the laws and the statutes that are in place that the Democrats are hanging their hats on right now are figments of their imagination. They are not constitutional.
They might not be constitutional, but since when did the Democrats care about the Constitution? They consider it an outmoded, outdated document. They're going to do whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah, they got to contend with the Supreme Court.
Right. But while an indictment, you know, like you say, you can get a ham sandwich indicted. You do not think that the Republican lawyers would have a say in who sat on that jury. I'm calling it a jury, the indictment board. Who would be allowed to sit on it and who wouldn't? They would have a say in it.
Absolutely. They should have a say in it. They should have had a say as to who was on the January 6th committee, and we all saw how that worked out.
That turned into the biggest joke ever.
Still playing, you know, in a theater near you.
I mean, you have a hearing over insurrection when no one arrested, charged, or even convicted was done so under the guise of insurrection. So the insurrection never happened. Not legally.
Right. Right. But they're looking, by taking the stuff out of Mar-a-Lago that they took out yesterday, they are looking for anything they can pin on Donald Trump. It doesn't have to be, and it probably isn't, documents that are wanted by the National Archives. That most likely they are looking for anything connected to anything, including and mostly January 6th, that they right. can try and hang on Donald Trump to indict him with. Now, all of that said, I don't think any of it's going to work. I think what they're doing, and you said it, Diane, you said it, they're pouring fuel on the conservatives' fire.
Yes.
They're handing him the election.
And I also think that Donald Trump is a very smart man. Donald Trump knows that they did not stop the dirty work with the January 6th hearings. I have a sneaky suspicion that Trump or his immediate surroundings, the people he trusts, they have things on the Democrats.
Oh, I'm sure.
And if push comes to, you know, to shove, they might be used. Not by Trump, but by those in his corner.
We shall see. Time will tell.
Yes.
You know, this is all still, I mean, this is 24 hours old, folks.
Right.
This all took place 24 hours ago. We're still learning lots of stuff. What we do know at this point, the judge that signed off on the thing, Bruce Reinhart, is an Obama donor,
right,
magistrate judge in South Florida. He's the guy that signed off on it. Used to be a federal prosecutor. Quit his job on January 1st, 2008. On January 2nd, 2008, he went to work for Jeffrey Epstein.
And not only that, he's a Trump, I'll use the word hater, but I don't know really if that's the right word. In the primaries, when Trump had other people running for the nomination against him, he supported Jeb Bush.
Right. And we all know Jeb and Trump get along like oil and water.
Exactly.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I have a feeling this judge is not going to be an active judge for very much longer.
You know, it's interesting. He was involved. He was supposed to be the judge in a case where Donald Trump was suing Hillary Clinton over the whole Russiagate deal, and he denied Hillary's attempts to dismiss the case, and then Judge Reinhart recused himself from that.
Exactly.
And handed it over to a judge who was appointed by Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, there's too many entwining elements in this. This Reinhart is, to put it mildly, he's very sleazy.
I call him a weasel.
Yeah, a weasel is a good word. And I think more digging into his cases, his verdicts rendered, need to be looked into.
Well, listen, folks, it's only Tuesday night. By Friday, we're going to know a lot more than we know tonight.
Right.
Okay, so Diana and I are going to stay on this. We're going to keep looking into this. And I think right now, probably the whole show on Friday, excuse me, is going to deal with this topic. What transpired at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, what's happened between yesterday and Friday. And, Trump has had a little bit to say, and I guarantee you he's not done talking.
Right. And I think we should turn the whole Friday show over to this unless there's some other major breaking news. If there is, we will cover that.
Right, right. I mean, you know, we always remain flexible enough to do that.
Yes. So, with that, Craig, I think it's time to say nighty-night.
I think you're right. Go ahead.
Nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday. Bye-bye.